Well, good morning, everyone. I still have my red jacket on. That still means that I'm still looking to this as a Christmas season. But this morning, we're going to look at a psalm, Now That Christ Has Come the First Time, and we know for sure he's coming the second time. How do we live? And we have just a wonderful little psalm here of eight verses, Psalm 101. And it's about David's desire for faithfulness. And he's making a lot of promises here, which he didn't keep, and which we want to make, but we can't keep, maybe. Only Christ can keep them. But I have kind of converted this psalm a little bit, not really converted it, but made a checklist out of it, of each verse, for our building holiness in our lives. And so you will look at these, and maybe all of them you're in really good shape on, but maybe there's one or two that are kind of shaky. I would urge you, when you get home or wherever, get the psalm out and go over this list point by point, verse by verse, and just take a little inventory of how you're living your life, because there's some just great, great instructions here on what the Lord is telling us. So I wanted to begin with this hymn, Take Time to Be Holy, and that's a big part of holiness. Holiness, by the way, is to be set apart from the world and be set to the Lord. It's not just enough not to do bad things, which is important, but it's to do His will, to be close to Him. And so let's open with a word of prayer and then we will sing. Father, I thank you for the Christmas season, because you can't come the second time unless you'd come the first time. And you have come the first time. It is finished, tetelestai, all was done. All the redemptive work was done. You conquered the grave, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven. And here we are on this earth for a short period of time. And you have us here for a really specific reason. You said, be the light of the world, be the salt of the earth. Go make disciples and preach the gospel. And we want to separate ourselves to you, Lord, and apart from the world. So help us this morning as we look at your word and receive instruction from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So take time to be holy. Those words are really outstanding, so spend a little time as you're looking at these notes on those words as well. Psalm 101, verse 1, I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, Lord, I will sing praises. First thing here we can notice is David had a desire for holiness. Do you have a desire for holiness? I believe God puts the desire for holiness in every believer. But then there's a responsibility that we have to respond to that. Oh, I believe in holiness, but then I don't live that way. Is not really, there's not a connect there. It's a disconnect. Notice he is not only singing of mercy, which is easy for us to sing of mercy, but he's singing of justice. When's the last time you sang praises to the Lord for his justice? Really, we should be just as thankful for the justice as we are for his mercy. And in fact, as we look at our lives, what do we value more? The times of his mercy or the times of his justice? You'd probably say, well, I like his mercy better. Well, but when do we learn? We learn in the periods of correction, don't we? We learn in the periods of trials. We learn in the periods of difficulties. So he will sing of mercy and justice, and then more than anything else, we need to sing to the Lord. To the Lord, not to the world, not to causes and all that thing. There is some may be good, but we want to sing to the Lord, right? He said, I will sing praises. There's 9 I wills in this little psalm. A lot of I wills, and there's a couple of shalls in it too. And so I shall, I will. You can say almost a dozen times in these 8 verses is what he's intending to do or he's praying to do. And of course, some of these things we see him falling so far short in, and yet still amidst it all, Lord calls him the man after his own heart. Verse 2, listen to this. I will behave wisely in a perfect way or a mature way or a blameless way. That is not sinless. That's not without fault, but it is blameless. It's not intending to do the wrong thing, but it's intending to do the right thing, intending to do it in a perfect or a mature or a blameless way. And how we know he did not behave wisely. Think of his time with Bathsheba. Think of his killing Uriah. So he fell, and he fell miserably at times, but he would always repent and come back to the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that, because if he was a perfect man, then there would be no hope for me. Because if he was a man after God's own heart and lived perfectly, I would be not even in near the starting gate. And the only one who's perfect is Jesus Christ. You'll see every man in the Bible, maybe we don't have much reported about Joseph or much reported about Daniel, but they were sinners. The Bible does say that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we see the kings, the good kings of Israel. Well, they weren't any good of Israel, but of Judah. But not a one of them finished well or was without some problems in their lives, right? And I think that's for a reason, too, because that's where we are. But we're to repent and to come to him after we do things which are not in a perfect way. Then he asks, cries out, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house in a perfect heart, with a perfect heart. How is your home? How do you walk in your home? Is your behavior just as nice and smiley as it is here on Saturday morning? Are you always so kind and pleasant and as you are here on Saturday morning? Or pick another time when you're pretty close to the Lord or you're surrounded by the Lord's people totally and kind of committed to the Lord as we are here every Saturday morning. But I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Our house should not be an extension of the world. Our house should be totally different from the world. It's not just an extension of the amusement park or Treasure Island or the scene on a movie or a television set or something. It should be separate. We need to come to a place that's kind of a haven away from the world's temptations and all the world's busyness. How can you be quiet before the Lord when you're in the world? You can't. There's too much noise going on, right? Too much distraction going on. So he says, I will walk within my house with a blameless heart, with a blameless heart. That was his desire. He didn't do it, but that was his desire, and that should be our desire. And we know we don't do that either, but that is our desire. To walk, or should be our desire, to walk within our house perfectly. And as I mentioned, as you go through this kind of a checklist, you'll come across these things that, oh, I'm doing pretty well there, but whoop, this is not quite so hot right here. We need to improve on it a little bit or whatever. Ask the Lord's help. Verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. So if you don't have that verse on your TV screen or whatever screen you're looking at, maybe you should put it on there, because there are so many wicked things that will come before your eyes on those screens that are not invited. I mean, you're not looking for wickedness, but there it is. Billboards, whatever. There's no way you can watch a sporting event today without turning off the commercials, because they're so wicked, for example. So I will set nothing before my eyes, meaning if I see it, I'm not going to dwell on it and pleasure in it, but I'm going to close. You got lids, right? Anybody without eyelids? Close them. Turn it away. Turn away from it, and then change the view if you can. Change, if it's a screen, you can certainly change that. But he's saying, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. And you know, there's something in our flesh that really wants to look at the wicked thing. You have a great holy thing, and you have a wicked thing. Your flesh wants to go where? It wants to go to the wickedness, doesn't it? Just look at a little kid. They much more desire to go to the wicked way than they do to the holy way. In the flesh, that is. I hate the work of those who fall away. How do you hate backsliders? Not them, but the way they fall away. He's saying, it shall not cling to me. Now, what does a backslider turn from the Lord to worship? They turn from worshiping the Lord to worshiping what? Money? Power? Pornography? Children? Dogs? Second homes? Third homes? Fourth homes? Or whatever it is? But they miss the Lord for all of that nonsense? I'm sure all of this sounds very strange to all of us. Verse 4, a perverse heart, or a crooked heart, or a wicked heart, shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Wow, those are strong words, aren't they? I will not know wickedness. A crooked heart shall depart from me. I think that's has more than one meaning. I think it means those around me with wicked hearts, I'm not going to commune with them and spend a lot of time with them. I'm going to depart from them and the wickedness in my own heart. I just want to pray for it to be removed and for me not to dwell there. Verse 5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. I have never really been slandered to any extent, so I can't say I understand that in its entirety, but I do know that you can do more damage with slander than almost any other way, slandering other people, spreading untrue rumors or unfounded rumors about them, undermining them. Can't wait to get to a prayer meeting. I got to tell people about so-and-so's husband because they've committed sin and we need to pray for him. No, you don't go into a prayer meeting asking for prayer and expose all kinds of dirty laundry of other people. Not that any of you would do that, but it has been done. Then, the one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. And I looked at that and I thought, him I know well, standing right here. But a haughty look and a proud heart, may we not endure that in ourselves, and may we not fail to recognize it in others as not being what the Lord has in mind. Separate yourselves from the slander. Separate your ear gate from unholy things. Separate yourself from those and from those things that are proudful and haughty. One thing you can be sure, if you're around prideful people, there will always be a fall coming in their lives. Pride goes before a fall, right? Verse 6, now this I like very much. more positive now. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. And what we see there is not only are we totally depending on Jesus Christ for all things, but we don't want to throw away the godly influence of other godly people that the Lord has around us. And think how often you can be around a godly person and really learn something from them. So my eyes shall be on the faith of the land, that they may dwell with me. Don't separate yourself from the godly ones. Separate yourself from the ungodly ones. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. And this is David the king here talking to a degree. We don't have really people serving us like a king would have them serving him, but we have people coming alongside helping us and caring for us and praying for us. And we want to be thankful for those and cherish those. So remember to separate yourselves from unholy people and to separate ourselves to the holy people and to God. Iron sharpening iron. Now, question. Do you have anyone in your life that challenges you spiritually? Do you have anyone in your life who makes you look, when you look at them, you look like something you would want to be? I'd like to be like that person. Because of the spiritual, not for any other reason, spiritually speaking. Watch others on how they handle circumstances and see how Christ-like those are. And does that coincide with your behavior? Verse 7, he who works deceitful ones, shall not dwell within my house. Now, we can't do too much about the world. I don't think you can change the content of movies. I don't think you can change the content of television. You can't change the content of what all things are coming at you. But you can control your own home, especially you men. You have a real responsibility here for the spiritual leadership of your home, of your house. And he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. Is there any deceit in your house? Where is it coming from? Is it coming from you? He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Stay away from liars, if you can find any to stay away from. But, you know, we're not to separate ourselves from the unbelievers in terms of, you know, going to an island only filled with believers, and that's where we spend the rest of our days. We're here to get the gospel out. But being in the world, as far as being here, we don't want to be of the world or totally in the world and doing everything they do. We want to be separate from them. So liars and deceitful people, David is basically saying, I don't have any room in my heart to associate with them. Now, obviously, we want to communicate with them and show them the gospel and tell them the gospel. But we don't want them to become our best, closest, intimate friends when they are far from the Lord. That's not where you want to go. Pray for them till they come to the Lord, and then you can spend a lot of time together if you want. And then finally, verse 8, he decisively, I guess rather ruthlessly, cuts off all influence of wickedness or evil in his life. Early will I destroy all the wicked of the land. Every morning. I read where Billy Graham prayed every morning. I don't know if this is necessarily true, but this is what I read. One of his prayers is, let me not ruin today, Lord, what you have taken decades to build into my life. When I think of Moses striking the rock after being 40 years in the wilderness, that's really a good example of that, isn't it? Here's such a holy man and gave his life to lead those millions of people, 38 years, 40 years in the wilderness. And in one few moments, he gave it all back because he misrepresented God. So let me not ruin today, Lord, what you have taken decades to build into my life. That's really the heart of David here, it looks to me like. The heart of any of us who are all about holiness, and I use that term us, generally, not including me so much really, but to be about holiness, recognition that apart from God, we can do nothing, and we do want to build those perimeters around our lives to protect the holiness in them. We want to cultivate those things that contribute to holiness and protect ourselves from those things which will tear that down. So I think this psalm is priceless in so many ways, but it's all priceless in terms of praising the Lord. You know, the last five psalms we had for 95 through 100 were really the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. It was all the Lord reigning. He's still reigning, but now we get to Psalm 101, and it's a change a little bit in this tenor as far as the promised faithfulness goes and as far as praying for holiness in our lives. Father, we thank you for all parts of your word, pure, truthful. Not just true, it is true for sure, but it's truth. It is what truth is. It's all right, not just a part of it, not just containing truth, but it is truth. So help us, Lord. Now we have time to pray and so much to pray for, I guess, but may we just be waiting on you, Holy Spirit, and prompting us, and we would pray and silence if necessary. Maybe that's the best part of prayer, just waiting on you and being in touch with you rather than just issuing so many words. But whatever you would have us do to pray for now, may we respond in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Draw near a close this year. Just reminded of that passage in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, which was for Judah. The summer is over, the harvest is ended, and we are not saved. Judah had turned its back on God, and judgment was coming. And they were not saved because they refused to turn back to God. But I think that has application for each of us in a slightly different way. Maybe we could bring the time remaining here, maybe 5 or 10 names of unsaved people with really that same prayer in terms of salvation. The summer is over, the harvest is ended, and they are not saved. We do expect our Lord to return soon. We do expect the church to be raptured out very soon. We do expect the church age to end very soon. Salvation is the most readily available now and the easiest to receive that it will ever be. So those sticky ones in our lives that we prayed for maybe 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, who still don't know you, we still want to pray for them because that's God's will. He wants all to be saved, right? So let's just spend a few minutes here going through that list that you have, each of us, silently. Just pray for them. Maybe today, maybe right now in this prayer time, they would turn to you. We pray for their salvation before their harvest is over, their summer is ended. Let's pray.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its birth. Yeah. us to love one another. His love is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of Zion, grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name.
Christmas to you. Just wanted to remind you again, I don't think I mentioned it too much, but where David says, I will sing of the mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. The thing that puts holiness in our hearts, desire for holiness in our hearts, is our love for him because of what he has done for us. And we can't manufacture that. We can't do that because I can't keep holiness because I want to or because I know that's the thing I should do. It's got to come from within, and it's got to come out of the love for him, recognizing what he's done for me. And that is a never-ending source of love and a never-ending source of motivation. And then even as we have in the hymn here and so forth, love one another. We can't love one another unless the love is coming from him through us, right? I just can't say, well, I'm going to love everybody today. I mean, you can say that, but it's going to get beyond the door. Faith on one side, fear on the other. Perfect love casts out fear. Pray for those believers, especially who are afraid, unusually afraid. Now, everybody has some fear, and fear comes up and down. I understand that, like your faith comes up and down. But you shouldn't be living in fear if you're a believer. What are you afraid of? I mean, life just about begin for all of us. Not to end for all of us, to begin for all of us. Getting out of these old restrictive tents with all the flesh, because when we get our new body, no more sin. No more sin. Sound pretty good, doesn't it? Father, we thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for these faithful ones. We thank you for this season. Lord, help us to finish this year if you leave us here, and to just be close to you, loving you with all our heart. And loving one another, in Jesus' name, amen.